just having a great old time here, huh? Why not? Why not? You know, there's a lot of wonderful people in God's Word that we could we can learn from. We learn from Adam, Jesus Christ. It's quite a contrast there. Noah, Moses. David, a lot of wonderful people in God's, a lot of wonderful people in God's Word we can learn from. One person that's mentioned throughout the Bible quite a bit is a fellow by the name of Abraham. And we're going to take a look at Abraham because he was quite a believer. He believed God's Word. And you and I trust, want to believe God's Word and grow in that ability. So we're going to take a look at Abraham and see what we can learn about how to believe God's Word. I mean, some of the attributes that Abraham had was that he was a friend of God. He was the father of all them that believe, it says in Romans. He, from his seed came Jesus Christ, it says in Galatians, and from his seed would come millions of people as the stars in the heavens. So we're going to take a look at Abraham and see how he believed God and look at some of the principles that he incorporated. And also, I think very important is the purpose behind his life. What was his purpose in life to the extent that he was called of God? Abraham was called of God. And that was his purpose, to answer that calling and to live for that calling, right? God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, called Abraham to do some things. Now, Abraham had the opportunity to believe God and do it. He had purpose in life. As born-again ones, do we have purpose in our life? Have we been called by God? If you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved, made whole. You're born again. You've got Christ in you. So, also, you are called of God. And I'm going to read some scriptures in light of that. But if somebody's not in that category, I'd be blessed to talk with you afterwards and help you to get born again of God's Spirit, because there's no greater decision a man or a woman could make than to get born again of God's Spirit. Man. 2 Timothy, and I'm just going to quote these scriptures for you. In 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So God, he has saved us. He's called us with a holy calling, not according to what we did, but what Christ Jesus did. And it was according to his own purpose and grace. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:17 and 20, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. And then it says, verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And then finally, in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, it says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So you and I have been called. We have a purpose in life, a wonderful purpose in life. And we're going to take a look at Abraham, who had purpose. God had called him, and how he believed God to accomplish the purposes that he was called to do. Okay? So, what did he do? What did Abraham do? Well, one day, God told him to get out of his country, go away from his kindred. What's kindred? his family, right? Relatives, leave all the relatives, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. You know what he did? He did it. He did that. He left everything because of one reason. God, the creator of the heavens and earth, said do it. And he agreed with it, and he did it. God told him that he was going to, from him would come a great nation. God showed him the stars of heaven and said, so shall thy seed be. When God did this, he was 75 years old and had not had a child. Whoa. And I'm going to have, my seed would be as the stars of the heaven? So he's got something to look forward to, doesn't he? Quite a challenge. So that's what God said. Also, his wife was barren. That's why they didn't have any children at that time. Quite a challenge. But in light of this, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God and saw the results. Pretty tremendous. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. The one thing that God requires that pleases him is that we believe him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing is the key to heaven. It's the key to walking in the realm of the miraculous. It's the key to any and all sources of the promises of God to be fulfilled in your life. Believing is the key in fulfilling our calling, our purpose in life. It is the key for us to walk worthy of our calling. So let's take a look at how Abraham was so successful in his believing. We're going to go to Romans now, chapter 4. You know, not only did Abraham up and move and went to a new country, and when he was 99 or so, he had his first child with Sarah, and he continued walking with God. And you know how old he was when he had his first child? He's about 99, getting on to be 100 years old. So he had to wait there for about 25 years. He had great persistence, great patience. And it's interesting, in the book of Romans, a foundational epistle to God's people that God had written, is how to believe. It's the epistle on how to believe. You know, how to get born again is in the book of Romans. So this is a very important epistle written to the church and others as well. But let's take a look in chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God, and it was accounted for righteousness. Let's go to verse 11, if you would. And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had not been, not yet being uncircumcised, not being yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. The father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not yet, or it was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith or believing. OK, Okay? Because, you know, the law came along and everybody had to do the law, but this is not where it's at. Doing the law, it's about believing. It's about believing, and that's why this is in here. That's why God chose Abraham. Of all the people he could pick, he chose Abraham and his believing example to teach us. Now, verse 16. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. And what this is saying is, who against all human expectation believed in hope or in that promise, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Beyond any human expectation that he could have all these kids, and yet he accepted that. He believed that promise. And being not weak in believing, he considered not his own body now dead. Now I know in the Greek text the word not is not in there. The Aramaic, it's not in there anyway. One way or the other, how you read it, it wasn't all about his body being dead. That didn't matter. I mean, it mattered in the situation, but according to his believing, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, in believing, giving glory to who? God. Boy, some great keys in here on how to believe, isn't there? Not staggering on the promises of God. He was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. What a great key. Boy, you have a promise of God. You want to see that in your life. Don't get all down and out. Boy, I hope this comes to pass. But give glory to God. I'm going to believe this promise. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get this job. God's going to meet my needs. This is going to happen. I'm going to give the glory to God. Start celebrating before it happens. Giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was persuaded. Because God said it, that's it. If God said it, it can be done. It can be done. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. For if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, whom he was delivered for offenses and was raised again for our justification. There it is, the resurrection. And how important it is to believe in the resurrection. So, here it is, some great section in God's Word on believing and how to believe and how Abraham believed. And we can see that he didn't waver. He obeyed God's Word. He took action on the promises of God. Some tremendous things. What I want you to do now, though, is go back to Hebrews 11. That's the all-star list of believers. Hebrews 11. There's a major key that I want to focus in on in light of his believing. How he believed. How could he be so successful in his believing? Why was he so successful? And I want to focus in on the rest of my sharing here that illustrates in a very dramatic event that occurred in his life where he believed. So Hebrews 11:6, remember we just read that without faith or believing it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith or believing. And here's Abraham now. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. That's believing. He just did it. He went for it. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Whoa, where is that at? Where is the city that God's going to make? This is something in the future. This is a promise, a hope in the future, way back when, that we can kind of read about in Revelations. Did he have the book of Revelations to read about it? Not yet, no. But God had talked to him about things in the future, about a city that he, only God, would make. This is a key here, and I want to develop this. I want to develop that Abraham had a hope. God put in Abraham's heart, showed him some things by which he could have great hope for the future. Let's work this here. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. One of the great promises they had was the coming of Christ, right? They were looking for that Redeemer, that promise, that Christ who would redeem mankind. But he hadn't come yet. But boy, I tell you, just that hope of him coming was a big part of their believing. Why they believed. They looked for it. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They seek a country. They're looking for this new place. Now, the word country here in the Greek is a Greek word that's patris, which is a root word for father, for father. One translation, a true home. The amplified version of the Bible, which I think really hits it according to the Greek, is a fatherland, a fatherland. They're looking for a fatherland, something that God's going to do for them, and only he would do it. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. A future, something in the future. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. This is one of the most dramatic events in Abraham's life. And let's take a look at it in Genesis. Genesis. Here was a situation that Abraham offered his only begotten son, Isaac. He offered him up. So let's take a look at this in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. You're probably familiar with this story where he takes Isaac up. He's got some sticks and fire and stuff, and he's taking Isaac up to this place, and he was making an altar. Let's read it in the word here, 22:6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. How would you like to have been Isaac then? And he evidently went with it, there on this altar, laying down on all this wood. Now, what happened here is phenomenal. We're going to go back to chapter 11. I hope you kept a finger in there. We're going to go back there, but not quite yet. Hold on. Because let's see what happens. All right, where are we at? Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. My golly, Abraham was going to kill his only begotten son right there. Whoa, my golly, why would he do that? Well, what happens next? And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He was ready to sacrifice his son to God, his only begotten son. Why would he do that? Okay, let's go to, I want you to see the word on it. Chapter 11. Chapter 11. Where were we here? 17, verse 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We just read about it. And he that hath received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Here he's going to, you know, from Isaac would come his seed, and yet here he was going to sacrifice him. But verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Wow. He believed that Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead if he sacrificed his son there. Wow. With the idea that Isaac would be that Christ, that Redeemer, to pay the ultimate price, to die, and God would raise him from the dead. In John 8:56, Jesus Christ said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Some point, some place in Abraham's life, God told him that there would be a Christ, that there would be a Redeemer that would die, be sacrificed, and be raised from the dead, that would take care of that situation whereby man was separated and now could be brought back, the price could be paid, and now mankind could be redeemed back to God. Isn't that something? That's where Abraham's head was at. He believed God could raise his son up from the dead. God had something else in mind. And thankfully, you know, he had his son later on, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do the job. To do the job. But Abraham was going to do it. What moved Abraham? Well, he knew the Christ would be there. He knew a Christ was coming. He was told that. He was told about a city, a country that would come. It's amazing what probably Abraham was hearing from God about the future, about the hope. He had a hope of great and wonderful things with the Christ, with this new country that only God could build, this city. You know, it's interesting where it says in John, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. The word rejoice means to leap for joy. He was just leaping for joy. He was so excited to see that day when Christ was come. Man, oh man, you and I should be very thankful for that day has come, right? That day has come, and our Lord and Savior paid that price. He did die. He gave his life. God raised him from the dead. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And you and I have the ability now to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, and get born again, get saved, be a child of God, to have purpose. And you know what else we have? We have all the promises of God to believe in, and we have the hope of Christ's return, don't we? We have the hope of Christ's return. Abraham had great hope for the future, tremendous hope for the future. That's why he believed God. He believed God because he knew what was ahead. What about us? Do we have a hope? Oh man, we do. Big time hope. Christ is coming back at any time. Any time. Let's go to Hebrews. You're here already, aren't you? Chapter 10. I want you to see a little bit more here. A little bit more of the greatness of how the hope plays a role in believing. And knowing the hope, we can believe God bigger and more. All right, 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith. Our hope is the word, really. Our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day approaching when Christ comes back. Verse 34. Let's jump to 34. For you had compassion of me in my bonds. You know, this is talking about the author. Most people think it's Paul. I don't know. Probably. But here it is. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Why would they give of their joyfully the spoiling of their goods? You know, that spoiling of their goods is that all-out giving. They just had all-out giving to help that author out, be it Paul or whoever was writing this thing. They did that. They just gave it all out. Why? Knowing in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Then verse 35, casting not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Wow. You know, this is coming off this verse saying in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. Because of this, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience or endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Wow. Boy, we're going to receive that promise if we stick in there, right? We don't want to cast away our confidence. No way. Why? Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Wow. Knowing the hope of Christ's return at any time is a great motivator, isn't it? Man, can we not believe the promises of God, knowing that someday Christ will come back, the fullness of our inheritance will come to pass, we'll be ever with the Lord, we'll receive our rewards, our crowns. What a great motivation that is. You know, this I want to share with you this word in a little while in the Greek. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. The word a little while is in the Greek micron hosen hosen. Now hosen hosen is very, very, in a very, very little while. But this micron is a word used in measurement, transliterated into the term micron. You know what a measurement of a micron is? It's 1/1000th of a milliliter. You know what a milliliter is? It is 1/400th of an inch. So I was thinking, if you could, you know, have your finger and thumb like that and just see the littlest space right in between those two finger and thumb, that just the smallest little light through there, that's about a milliliter. Now divide that by 1,000. So that's how quick he's coming. See, that, isn't that exciting? Christ is coming for us. You know, all this stuff going on in the world has very little matter when you look at the light of the hope of Christ's return for us. See, Abraham had that. God talked to Abraham about the great things in the future, about a country, things that we can even read about in Revelations now. Isn't it wonderful? You see, we are seated in the heavenlies, aren't we? We're citizens in the heavens. We have rewards and crowns coming. We are risen with Christ. It's encouraged in Colossians. It says we are risen with Christ, so we seek those things which are above. We set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Our life is hid with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We hold forth the words of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. That's in Philippians 2, 16 and 17. Abraham did what he did as a friend of God and the father of them that believed. And he leaped for joy to see the day of Christ, which we have experienced already. He was excited about this new city that God would be the builder of. And ultimately, his hope is our hope, for one day we all will be together. One day we all will be together. You and I are not now motivated to serve and uphold our calling because God's word is true and we know the hope. Let us continue to do the will of God, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. So Heavenly Father, we're very grateful and thankful that we have a purpose in life, that you have called us to live at this time, to be born again of your Spirit, to be able to believe your promises, Father, to do the great things that you call us to do within the family of God, because we have that hope of Christ's return. It's the anchor of our soul, Father. We're very grateful and thankful that we have this inheritance in front of us. So we too leap with joy in light of what has happened with the Christ, and that we can continue to learn who we are in Christ more and more, that we can continue to walk out, Father, with the hope of Christ's return at any time, burning in our hearts. So Father, I pray for this body of saints here, for blessing them, taking care of them this week. I pray that we can have just a great, wonderful week living for you with the hope of Christ's return burning in our hearts. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right.